You've got a well, you've got production, as Mr. Malloy told you, and he mentioned division orders in his presentation. So what do? As soon as you have sales, the clock starts ticking in Texas. You got 120 days to make payment. And during that 120 days, it could be up to 150, and we'll get to that in a moment, you've got to get, you really should have a division order title opinion prepared. Before you drill that well, you got what we call an original title opinion that assures your client that they have the right to be there to drill on that land into the mineral estate. So now we have production, and we now need to know who to pay that to. Your client, your producer, is getting all this money in, and there's a great temptation to keep it, but he has contractual obligations to make payment to royalty owners, to other working interest owners, to overriding royalty owners, to non-participating royalty owners. Who does he pay? How much does he pay? I would also like you to look at your producer's 88. And we all know that producer's 88s are not uniform. They all have a little bit of difference here and there. But if you go through your producer's 88, which is still the far greatest majority of oil and gas lease forms out there, you aren't going to find the words division order. And yet, you've got producers who are going to send you division orders and say, you need to sign this before we pay you. Well, where did that authority come from? It's not in the oil and gas leases, and I mentioned the producer's 88s because I want to go on and say there are many custom forms that have been prepared over the last 20 years that do address the division order issue. And we will obviously discuss that later on in this presentation. Now, I've put an example at the beginning of the paper. We're not going to take the time to go through that example. We're going to go on with talking about the case law that, as background and history, the case law of why we have division orders in the first place. First case we have on that is Chicago Corporation versus Wall. It's a 1956 case. It's up in East Texas. Chicago Corporation drills a well on a unit. Before they had drilled that well, the Walls had sold three tracts of land to the Smiths, and the Walls reserved a non-participating royalty interest in those lands. So when the division orders were prepared, I suspect the Smiths just forgot that the Walls had a non-participating royalty interest in all three tracts, and they only rendered one tract to Chicago Corp. Chicago Corp then sent a division order to the Walls that only had the one tract of land on it. Now, a division order, the Walls signed it, and they only got paid on that one tract of land, and then they sued Chicago Corp. The Supreme Court said, you can't sue Chicago Corp. You represented to them in your division order that you only owned one tract, and they relied on that. Chicago Corp had paid the balance of the money to the Smiths. The Wall's remedy is to sue the overpaid. Now let's go back to a division order for a second, and we're going to look at a couple forms here. Division order, you may think of, well, this sounds like a formal proceeding, like a judgment order. Not at all. It's a piece of paper with information on it. It's prepared by the oil and gas company and given to the royalty owner or other revenue interest owner as a representation back to the oil company of what they own, where it is, and other rights. So it becomes a somewhat of a fiction here. We call it a division order, but the oil company says, all right, here's what you own, and I want you to tell me that that's what you own. So that's what the division order does. So in Chicago Corporation versus Wall, we come up with the first, it's an equitable principle here of detrimental reliance. since the Walls said they only owned royalty under one tract, and that's what Chicago Corporation paid, they are precluded from bringing a cause of action against Chicago Corp, the payor. Next significant division order case in this area is Exxon Corporation versus Middleton. This involved a long-term gas sales contract and a Vela issue. The long-term gas sales contract price was fixed over many years, and at or about this time, we had a resurgence in the intrastate Texas market for gas, and the market value at the well was far greater than the long-term contract gas price. Middleton sued under the authority of Vela versus Texas Oil and said, we want to be paid on the market value at the well. And Exxon and Sun said, well, au contraire, we have division orders from you that agree that you're going to get paid based upon the long-term gas contract sales price.